Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons joins us every Tuesday at about this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. It's a little overcast for my taste, but, you know, I know that'll change soon enough, and it'll be warm, so fine enough. You guys have an alert about a pretty concerning fraud that is going around in Escambia County. Tell people what's going on.
Yeah, well, there's probably a lot of frauds, attempted frauds going on, but this particular one involves individuals that are calling people, and they have some information. They have a little background. They know who they're calling or by the name, and then in many cases they know a relative's name, which is not that difficult in today's society to gather that information. But what they're doing is they're telling these people that they have kidnapped one of their relatives and that they must provide their debit number or their credit card number, and they must give them money immediately or they'll be harmed or transported some other place. And unfortunately, some people are believing this, and at least one case that I'm aware of, they actually gave these people money. Unfortunately, again, they seem to be targeting those, grandparents or great-grandparents that don't have maybe immediate access to a loved one, maybe a loved one's away at school, and unfortunately, they are getting victimized by this sort of scam. So we just want people to be aware, be skeptical of these types of things, especially if they ask for money right away. They're almost all a scam, whether it is by the phone or whether it's an email. I get emails all the time talking about, there's an alert on my account, and I should do this and add my Social Security number or my credit card number, and I just assume everything's a scam.
Wow. So if somebody gets one of these calls, what do you want people to do? Hang up and call you, keep them on the line, get in? I mean, what do you want people to do?
Well, I mean, we certainly will look into it. Many times these are like national or international type scams, and to be honest, they're very difficult to trace back.
Okay.
And then get in the jurisdiction and all that sort of thing, especially if they don't actually work. You know, it's just an attempted scam for a small amount of money or a couple, $4,000 or $5,000. So, in all honesty, they are difficult to investigate. But I will. What I do is I just hang up on them and I just ignore it. Because there's going to be so many of them. This is the world we live in. But if they feel like it's something close by or if they have information, then they can certainly give us a call and we'll investigate it.
Well, and that's, I guess weirdly, maybe I'm strange for thinking this, but if it's not people that we're living next to, if it's somebody from somewhere else, that concerns me a little bit less, if only because, if it were originating here, that would weirdly make me more upset, and I think that it's a problem we need to solve here. But as you say, it might be something international. We can't even solve it. We had a thing at Bellevue Middle School on Friday, a bit of a concerning development, right?
Yeah, it was concerning. I was actually driving down Pine Forest Road, and I heard a call go out about a potential student at Bellevue Middle School had ingested some THC-laden candies. Well, our deputies get there, and we find out that there were indeed just a couple. I really don't want to get into details. I'm obviously not going to release the names of the students, but someone had brought some what they called Stony Patch, which look a lot like Sour Patch Kids. The packages, it looks just like candy. And while I have not seen one of these gummies, I understand they look just like candy. So we're investigating it. Luckily, no one was suffered any long-term injuries or damage. And, it's something that we're investigating. We're trying to figure out which of the students brought the candy to the school and whether the parents knew about it. And if we find out that someone had knowledge or someone had it where a child could get it and allow them to bring it to school, we certainly will charge them. When we find out which student actually brought it, and then we will investigate whether they knew it was candy or whether they knew it was THC. I got to believe that at least the first couple knew what it was, and then perhaps the last couple kids didn't really know.
Yeah.
But it's just pretty disturbing, and it's just more of a alert to parents and maybe have that conversation with their children that, don't accept that sort of thing, because If like I said, it does clearly say it on the the package, but many times candies like this are passed, in smaller bags and from one to another, and you may not have an opportunity to read the package, but I would suggest that they do so.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously it's a pretty concerning situation, and, you know, who knew what and how much knowledge did they have, and, you know, I mean, all good questions, and I know a lot of that stuff you guys are still investigating. You also, and we don't normally talk an awful lot about the, you know, kid stuff and domestic violence stuff, but it is stuff that your officers deal with all the time. You had a very concerning incident on Thursday, right?
Yeah, again, I happened to be heading to work, and I hear a call go out that there was an unconscious female laying in the middle of E Street, and obviously the deputies got there before I did, but we noticed that this particular victim had been beaten for an extended period of time. In fact, by many estimates, for about 30 minutes. We determined that the suspect, whose name I'll put out here because of the acts that he committed, Cornelius Williams, we determined Cornelius Williams lived nearby, so a couple of our deputies went over there to make contact with Cornelius and ultimately to put him in jail for what he's done. And he decides to fight law enforcement because that's what criminals do. And, you know, so we had a bit of a fight on our hands with Cornelius Williams, but the good guys ultimately won. We ended up charging Cornelius with battery on the law enforcement officer and aggravated battery in a domestic situation. So, you know, again, as you said, we don't normally put this type of stuff out, but because of the nature of the victim's injuries and the fact that this guy fought law enforcement, I think it's important for everyone to understand the job that law enforcement does and the very real situations involving domestic violence.
You know, I remember several years ago when I did my first ride along with PPD. I'm trying to remember whether you were chief or whether Tommy was chief at the time, but did my very first ride along, and I remember I was going out with a guy who is a competitive bodybuilder, and he told me before we got to our first call, he said, "All right, here's the deal. If I'm trying to arrest somebody and they start fighting with me, and I'm getting my butt kicked, you help me." And I said, "I don't know what I can do, but I will help if I can." He's like, "All right, good." And that's the point is, you know, law enforcement is at the end of a fist a lot of times, and people don't think about how that stuff is always a possibility. I mean, officers get into fights, and that's, you know, you get injuries, sprained thumbs and stuff like that, but subduing suspects who are not compliant is a big part of the job, unfortunately, right?
It's a very physical job, and, you know, that's why some of the national cases that we're seeing, some of these things escalate. But again, we're trained professionals, and we're trained to use the force that's necessary, the force that's reasonable. Unfortunately, that the force that's necessary is a little more than, you know, just asking someone to comply. Sometimes it is you know, grabbing someone. Sometimes it's putting them on the ground. Sometimes it's swinging at them to stop their aggression toward you. So I'm not sure if you give yourself enough credit. I'm not sure if your listeners know that you have a background in martial arts. So let's not get carried away there, Andrew.
That's fine. And I will say this, and you've said this before, and I think it bears repeating. A fight never looks pretty on video. Even if the officers are in the right, which they are if they're trying to subdue a resisting suspect. But, you know, you have to understand these things. You know, it never looks pretty on video, even when it's the right thing to do, and that's just an important thing to remember. We're talking to Chip Simmons. He's a sheriff in Escambia County. It's been about a week now, but we also had an incident take place at Asbury Place, which has now had some elevated charges involved, right?
Yeah, we got there with a report from EMS, actually. They were transporting a couple of people to the hospital, and when we get there, we find out that a fight had taken place amongst three of the participants or the occupants of the assisted living facility. Two of the victims, one was age 78 and one was age 80, again, were transported because of their injuries. We ended up arresting the aggressor in this type of situation. We charged them with aggravated battery because we were going to await the results of the autopsy because ultimately one of the victims passed away. And later on, we did determine, or the medical examiner determined, that the injuries were the result of the crime itself, and that caused the homicide or caused the death. And so we're working with the state attorney's office, and they're going to determine, I think that many people have talked to them about what goes into their determination, but they're going to figure out whether they want to raise the charges to homicide or if they want to keep it. And again, their evaluation is based on the suspect's mental capacity.
Very good. Last thing, if we can, I would like to end on some kind of a positive note. We did manage to... you guys had a goat recently that you managed to rehome. Is that right?
Yeah, the goat we put out recently. It was a single goat auction, and it ended up getting, I think, $40. Now, a lot of people are asking us what happened to it and what house, you know, the goat went to. We don't really have that information. It's just by law, we have to auction off this type of livestock like this. And in the future, I ask my people if we can go ahead and put a little more effort into finding out where the livestock's go heading to. But we don't have information, but we did get $40 for the goat, and we'll try to figure out what's taking place from that point on.
I love the Facebook post. It's I decided to venture out and see if I could find some sunshine Thursday, but I lost my way. A nice deputy from ECSO noticed how lost I looked traveling near Quail Hollow Boulevard. He took me for a ride to the sheriff's office, where they fed me and gave me a place to crash. Was the goat in your office, Sheriff?
No, it was not in my office. It was we have some people that are much more qualified to handle those goats than I am.
Well done. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, thank you so much for the time, sir. Thanks for all the variety of things that you have to deal with and help your deputies keep us safe with. And we certainly appreciate the work. Please pass on our appreciation to your folks.
All right, you bet. Y'all take care.